064, Sunday School, Lazarus, Andrew, 9th of September, 2012.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
God is good, isn't he? He's the same yesterday, today and forever. And he does not change. Praise his wonderful name. Well, children from Sunday school turned up and left for some reason. The dinner were ready. Bless them. So I was given Sunday school to do. But we've got three more children for Sunday school. And all you for Sunday school.
Amen.
Glory to Jesus. So I want you to turn in your Bibles first of all, children. You know, you big children, turn your mobile phones off and your games. And then you younger children, turn your Nintendos off and all of that. Shouldn't have any of them in church, should we? No. Glory to Jesus. Turn your mobile phone off. God's more important than anybody else in this world.
Amen.
He needs to talk to you more than anybody else needs to talk to you.
He does.
And I just think that's so important.
Amen.
So praise God. Big note. We need a big note. You need big notices in churches. No mobile phones turned on. Come to listen to Jesus. Come to listen to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That's what we've come to do. Praise his wonderful name.
Amen.
John's Gospel. John's Gospel. Chapter 11. All this technology, eh? Like driving a spaceship. Glory to Jesus. You found John's Gospel, chapter 11 yet? You got your Bibles? Great. You got a Bible, Josh? Do you want one? You don't. You ought to have one. You adults, you should always have a Bible. Don't you? This is your sword. This is the word of God sets captives free. John's Gospel, chapter 11 and verse 1. Now a certain man was sick. Lazarus was his name, of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha.
Amen.
And it was Mary who anointed the Lord with an ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. The sisters therefore sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a statement in itself.
Indeed.
The sickness is not unto death,
Amen.
But for the glory of God.
Praise God.
Maybe we need to think now and again, if suddenly we find ourselves sick, is this for the glory of God? If it is, we need to look and see what God is going to say to us and what God is going to do.
Yeah.
And this is a good story to match our lives against at times. And so this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man may be glorified by it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Mary and Lazarus. When therefore he heard that he was sick, he stayed then 2 days longer in the place where he was. Wow, that really sounds strange, doesn't it? You would have thought that Jesus would have said, saddle up the mules, we're off. We're going, wouldn't you? Because he loved this man. He loved this family. You and I would have said, oh, we're off now, wouldn't we? We'd have packed our bags, we'd have got the car loaded, and we're on our way. Would we? We would, wouldn't we? But we would miss a greater miracle. That's the thing that we're going to miss.
Yeah.
Amy, would you pack your bags and say, come on, I'm going, we've got to go. Eh? On your way. They've got to go and pray for him so that he doesn't die. Won't we? Would you do that? We'd want to do that, wouldn't we? Oh. But Jesus says, not going. 12 disciples at least with him, plus a number of other people, probably all went, oh, did you hear that? He's not going to go. Lazarus is one of his best friends. He's helped him in his ministry. Lazarus has been ever so good to him.
Yeah.
See, Lazarus, was he a rich man or was he a poor man? Anybody know? No? You're not sure? Well, let me tell you this. Lazarus was a very rich man. Now then, how do I know that? Because it doesn't really sort of say in the Bible directly that he was very rich. But there are some telltale signs in the story that tell us that Lazarus was a rich man. Number one, when we get to it in the Bible, it tells us he was buried in a stone tomb. That had been, you know, somebody had got to chop this out. Somebody had got to get a chisel and a hammer, and they got to spend a lot of time and build this, chop out of the rocks, this tomb. So he'd got to pay somebody, hadn't he?
Yeah.
So Lazarus was quite a rich man. There's something else as well that tells you he was rich. The Bible tells us also that one of his sisters was called Mary and the other one was called Martha. Now one of his sisters, we'll read in this story, anointed Jesus' feet with some very, very expensive oil. Washed his feet and wiped it with her hair. Where did she get that money from? I'll give you two ideas in a minute. Where do we get to? Verse 7. Then after this he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you are going there again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? And if anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world.
Amen.
And if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. Oh, that's very deep, isn't it? Very deep. Is the light in you? Will not stumble. If it's not, we're going to stumble and fall. And the word is the light.
Yeah.
And each and every one of us need to be realized that we need to fill our vessel with the oil of the word.
Amen.
To keep the light lit.
Amen.
Because if the light goes out, we will stumble and we will fall.
Yeah.
So that's an important lesson to learn. Verse 11. This then he said after he had said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. Oh, he's fallen asleep. And he goes on to say, but I go that I may awaken him out of sleep. So can you imagine? His disciples are thinking, well, they say, the disciples therefore said to him in verse 12, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will recover. So they're thinking, he's fallen asleep. So you know what happens when you fall asleep? Usually when you're sick and ill, what have you, you just rest, your body shuts down a little bit, gives you time to recover. And so you think, oh, he's not sick anymore. So then Jesus, what does Jesus say? So he has to say to his disciples, hey lads, verse 13. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he was speaking of a literal sleep. And therefore Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Oh, now that's a different story, isn't it? He's now dead. Oh dear. This is a really good friend of Jesus. Real special friend of Jesus. Now he's dead. Oh dear. Oh dear, what are we going to do? Just look for a moment. Right at the beginning of the story, we talked about, just briefly, about Mary, who took this oil of, I think it was spikenard, was it? One of the most expensive oils that you could buy. And the aroma filled the room when she broke it open. And she, the man where Jesus went to eat didn't wash his feet, and it was a custom that when you came in they washed your feet. And so because of this, nobody had washed his feet, but this lady came in and started to wash his feet. Well, you know what people are like. One or two start saying, hey, if he were a prophet, if this Jesus was a prophet, he would know what sort of woman this woman is. She's one of these ladies of the night, you know. She's selling herself. Now we might think, well, maybe that's where she got the money from. To anoint, to buy that oil. I believe that oil was worth over a year's wages. Can you imagine how much that oil's worth? You know, you ladies, you buy perfume, don't you? You see some of the prices of it. Pick a bottle up. 60-odd pound for a tiny bottle of... Golly gee, this is expensive stuff, isn't it? It's not a year's wage, no, but can you imagine if you went for a bottle of pot shampoo, if a bottle of perfume, and somebody said to you, oh, it's £14,000. Hey? You're joking, aren't you? Well, maybe 20,000. What, you know, I mean, depends where the years were. And you say, how much? A lot of money. A lot of money. It's more than a car. Oh, do you mean? You want gallons of it, wouldn't you? You want gallons and gallons and gallons of the stuff. But this was just a small vessel. And she broke it and the perfume filled the room and she washed the feet of Jesus and she bathed his hair. Well, she dried his feet with her hair. And the place was filled. And people are saying, you know what type of woman she is? There's always somebody pointing a finger. You know what she's like? And Jesus knew who exactly she was. And he led her into the presence of his Father God. And she found salvation through Jesus Christ. Amen. I guess that's possibly what introduced Jesus to her brother, Lazarus. He'd had an introduction through a prostitute. She didn't need to be on the streets. No. Her brother was rich.
Yeah.
He got plenty of money. Lived in a big house. Bit of a villa. Had his own tomb ready made for when he died. thing about that tomb is that that tomb had two levels to it. So they didn't just dig one hole, they dug a hole and then they went down. Put some steps in it. Stone steps. So this was a very expensive tomb for a man that had plenty of money and influence. You see, money can't buy your health. Can it? Money can't always make you well. Sometimes there is a sickness that the doctors can't do anything with. And no matter how much money you spent, you'd still be sick. And the end result would be, what would happen if you were so sick and the doctor couldn't help you? What would happen? You'd probably die. Not good, is it? But when Jesus is round, things can change, can't they? Praise God. Jesus, when he comes on the scene, when we invite Jesus in to our lives and into our circumstances, things will change. That's what God wants to do for each and every one of us. He wants things to change. Hallelujah. I want to show you just a couple of slides. 1985, it's before you were born, isn't it? 1985, Grace and I ended up in Israel. We didn't plan to go to Israel, but that's where we ended up. We went to Egypt. Grace wanted to look at the pyramids. And then we escaped and went to Israel.
You weren't the first.
Well, you will not work the last, but I'll tell you what, we're glad to escape. Yes, and so off. So we followed the, well, we didn't quite, it didn't take us 40 years, thankfully, to get from Cairo to Jerusalem. It took us less than 24 hours, yes. Less than 24 hours, and we arrived in Jerusalem. Then we met some people, and they took us around parts of Israel. And we actually went to what is believed is the tomb of Lazarus. So I just want to show it you when I can get a few things started up as well in different areas. I've got a couple of things I want to do. All this technology, Bill, it's amazing. Now, some of these slides are just are a bit light because I discovered when I got home, it's before the digital age, Bill, that the lens on the camera was stuck fully open and wasn't shutting down, you understand? So the things were overexposed. It wasn't while I had all my films developed that some of the shots were like, oh, I don't believe it. So I had to send the lens back and have it fixed again. And so that's just a side. That's just a, you know, that's just show you that, you know, it's not the photographer, it's not the guy behind the camera that's at fault. It's the technology, it's the equipment that weren't working right, you see. All right? Oh, there you go. That's the one, yeah. Thank you, friend. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's, yes, you'll be in your corner in a minute, young man, for all your cheek. Let's see if we can get this technology. Let me just show you something here, first of all. This is the, thanks, Graham. This is on Temple Mount. This is where the original Solomon's Temple was built. In Israel, where David saved up, collected all things together, and then allowed his, then prepared for his son, whom God said to him, he will build the house for me. So Solomon built the temple to God, and then in AD 70, after Jesus had been crucified and rose again and went to heaven, and the church was birthed and things were happening, the Romans came in and destroyed the temple. And then later on, generations later, the Muslims came in and built a mosque in exactly the same place. Every religious site that there is in Israel where they think either Jesus has been or any of the prophets or anything like that, there will be an Islamic temple or they will have claimed it. Yeah. Absolutely true. You see, the devil wants to claim everything that Jesus is and has. Because he has nothing of himself.
No.
Glory to God. That's another view of it. We didn't go inside it. We chose not to. We chose not to enter into the temple of false worship. See what I mean? Washed out. It's not my wife that's washed out. Who's that? Oh dear me. No idea who that is. Oh dear me. That was my wife. Now just there, on that slope, you can see on the left-hand side, there's a sign there. What does it say? Lazarus tomb. Yeah. See where that lady's just stood there? That's going down into the tomb. I'm showing you these for a reason. And we'll get to that in a moment. And this area just there, can you see there? That's where Lazarus was laid. Just slid him in. That's looking back down the road. So that's all I'm going to show you that today. Now, boys and girls, it says in the Bible that when Lazarus died, they wrapped him up in grave clothes, I believe. It's just an example. You can share with them. All right. I'll give you one as long as you behave. You two can share. Yeah, you can. Glory to God. Thank you. You'll have to. Oops. Now there for Sunday school, there is a picture there on the left-hand side. And that's Lazarus being bound up in grave clothes. Some colouring pencils around in a bit. You can colour your pictures in. And Lazarus has died. That's what it says in the Bible, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Now let's just read a little bit more of the story, shall we? Well, while that's finding itself, let's turn in our Bibles again. There you go. Even coloured pictures for you. Look at that. Just to help you as we read the story. There is Lazarus. He's sick. His two sisters, they're worried that he might die. And they live in this village called Bethany. And it said Lazarus was a rich man. Somebody comes and finds Jesus and tells him, "Hey, your friend, your best friend." Lazarus was probably one of the people that helped provide some money for Jesus to take all these people with him on ministry. So he's a real support to Jesus. So suddenly we find that Jesus waited a couple of days and Lazarus has died. Oh dear. So let's read in our Bibles from there. Verse 14, Jesus then said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." This is a funny statement. You and I would have said, "What?" And he goes on to say, "I am glad for your sake that I was not there." You'd start thinking, why? What does he mean? He said, "I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, therefore, you know, remember Thomas. His nickname was Doubting Thomas, weren't it? Listen to what Thomas says. Thomas was not always a doubter, right? Thomas says, "Therefore, Thomas, therefore, who is called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us go, that we may die with him." Hey, Oh, great. He knows that they're out to kill Jesus. And he's so bold and he's so, "Come on, let's go. We're going to die with him." You know, he's leading them now. You remember the story in the garden? How many of them were there? They all disappeared, didn't they? And disappeared. And nobody could find them. They were hiding in a room. Bravery. But then you see, he says, "Come on, let's go." So verse 17, when Jesus came, he found that he had already been buried in the tomb for 4 days. So Lazarus is in the tomb. He's been there 4 days. Would you fancy 4 days without food and without water? In a country with them sort of temperatures, you'll wither up like a prune. And when you're dead, you know, decay begins to set in rather rapidly and you begin to smell a little bit. And that is why, you see, when somebody died, they were very quick to bury them because of the high temperatures. And so they would wrap them up in garments that were coated in oils. So there would be a sweeter smell coming from the tomb. That's why they did that. So he was bound in these garments. We ought to do an experiment today, didn't we? We ought to get somebody stood out here and wrap them all the way around in toilet paper. Just keep wrapping them round until we've used it all up and say, "Right, now let's see you walk." Huh? That'd be a struggle, wouldn't it? We ought to try that, didn't we? Eh? Shall we try it with you? But that's what they did. And so Lazarus, and you saw that picture earlier, they'd put him in this, they'd taken him down, I think it was about 10 steps. And then they'd gone into this corner, and you couldn't stand up in this place. Well, I couldn't, not properly, I was crouched down a bit. And they'd put him in this area where they'd laid him. Amazing thing, he got out on his own. And yet, it says he's bound hand and foot. Have you ever tried to jump upstairs like this? Huh? I don't think you'd get up the steps. Oh, you'd come down easy enough. We need him to come up. And the height restriction. If I'd have been in there and tried to jump, ouch, you know, it'd have been a bang, bang. Jump up in there, hit my head and fall down again, probably. So I'm trying to get to you, understand that this tomb was just big enough. Just big enough. And then, in verse 18, now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. He must have been well known. Yeah? If a lot of people had come from the capital, he must have been well known. And for him to have been well known, he must have been a rich man. Well respected. Must have been a kind man. Must have been a giving, generous man with his riches. And so a lot of people knew him. So a lot of people came to, and they do in the East, they came to give their respects and they came to mourn with them. And they think that to come and sit with you and cry with you and to wail with you is a great thing. It cheers you up. We don't do it that way, do we? But that's the way they do it. And so the people came and they were mourning with them and crying with them because Lazarus was dead. They knew he was dead because these people were professionals who used to come along to mourn and wail to help comfort you. They used to get paid for this. I'll be a professional mourner. And they came and got paid for this. And they knew that people were dead. They knew how to check. They'd seen enough dead people. And Lazarus was well dead. Verse 19, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and to Mary, consoling them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him. But Mary sat in the house. She sat in the house. Martha, therefore, said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She believed that if Jesus turned up whilst he was alive, he would have healed him. But what else was she saying but she wasn't saying? She had faith in Jesus as long as her brother was alive. But now her brother's dead, she doesn't have enough faith. She doesn't believe that Jesus could raise Lazarus from the dead. Lord, if you'd have been here when he was alive, he would still be alive now. True statement, but also a statement of doubt that Jesus could raise the dead. Now, Jesus had already raised dead people, had he not? The widow woman's son, Jairus' daughter, just to name two. They would have heard, and they'd probably seen the families of these people that he'd healed. But if you'd have been here then, if you'd have been here 2 days ago, 4 days ago, then Jesus goes on to say, verse 22, even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you, she says to him. Jesus said to her, your brother shall rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live, even if he dies. Glory to God. We shall live even if we die. Death, the grave is not the end.
Amen.
Praise God. Might be the end for this body, but for me and for you as individuals that know the Lord Jesus, our soul and our spirit lives on in the presence of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's right, it's endless, Edwin. Praise his wonderful name. Verse 26, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die.
Amen.
He said, do you believe this? And she said, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God. Even he who comes into the world. So she knew who Jesus was. She confessed who Jesus was. Verse 28, and when she had said this, she went away and called Mary, her sister, secretly saying, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard this, she arose quickly and coming to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was in a place where Martha met him. And the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, then when they saw that Mary arose up quickly and went out, followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now that's both of them saying the same thing. 4 days in the tomb. If you'd only been here 4 days ago. How many days ago? Four. Everything would have been fine. In other words, they were saying, you're 4 days too late. Yeah? You think so? 4 days too late. God. Why couldn't you come 4 days ago? Where were you 4 days ago? Can you imagine? I know if you'd have been here 4 days ago, this wouldn't have happened. Ooh. How many of us sort of said that type of thing to Jesus? Yeah. Jesus, if you'd have been here, if you'd have done this 2 days ago, this wouldn't have happened. He says he knows the end from the beginning. He says he knows the pathway that your life will take. And he also says, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Usually we leave him. We usually turn off. John Bunyan's story, Pilgrim's Progress, talks about times when we turn off down Bypath Meadow and end up in the Slough of Despond and places like that. Bog of Unbelief. That's a good place. If you want to get into that bog of unbelief and you're going to be stuck there for a long time, strangling faith. But Jesus knows where we are. Father knows where we are. The good shepherd knows where we are. Verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled. He said he grieved. He grieved. He grieved for them, for their sadness and for their unbelief, I believe, also. That's probably what he was grieving for, because, you see, he already knew what his father was going to do, because he'd made a statement that this is for the glory of God. It's not unto death, but it's dead. That should tell you something. Death is temporary. That's not preached very often. Death is temporary. Amen?
Amen.
It's not for those in Christ Jesus, death is not eternal.
No.
It's a temporary state. It's a temporary separation that we have from our loved ones. They've gone on. They've been promoted.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Our promotion is waiting for us.
Amen.
Glory to Jesus. I say, we've laid him in the tomb. And they said to him, Lord, and she said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept and groaned. And so So in verse 36, and so the Jews were saying, behold how he loved him. But some said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man also from dying? And therefore Jesus, again being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was in a cave, and a stone was lying against it. And Jesus said, remove the stone.
Amen.
If you want God to do something in your life,
yeah.
If you want God to do something effective in your life,
yeah.
Remove the stone. Give him access.
Amen.
Don't lock him out.
Amen.
You have to allow Jesus in.
Yeah.
Don't lock him out.
Amen.
People roll stones over things to try and keep things hidden.
Yeah.
Jesus says, he's come to seek and to save. And when he's seeking, he wants to seek that which keeps you in prison. He wants to seek that which is holding you back from doing the work of the kingdom of God. And so Jesus says, roll the stone away. Because the only way you can deal with sin and death is to get the stone rolled away.
Yes.
Get the stone rolled away. No point in bringing Lazarus to life with a stone rolled across the doorway, is there?
No.
He needs to get out. He's got enough problems as it is without there being a stone left in the way. He's tied hand and foot. He can't see. He can't move his arms. They just bound him up like they do the Egyptian mummy type thing. 4 days, he'd be a stiff. Don't laugh all at once. He's a stiff. He's dead. And Jesus said, move the stone away. And Martha says, oh no, 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 no. He's been in there 4 days. It'll stink. I can just imagine what it would be like. I'll tell you why. A few days ago, one of my fish died. Big one. So, put it in a plastic bag, tied it up. Put it in 2 plastic bags, tied it up. Put it in the dustbin.
Aww.
What else am I going to do with it? I ain't going to eat the thing.
Bury it.
Oh, Lord. So I put it in the dustbin. In the name of Jesus, send it to heaven. Glory to God. Oh, yeah. This thing won't go down the toilet. It was 6 pound. So this thing had died. So I'd been in the dustbin a couple of days, and I kept seeing flies around the dustbin. I'm thinking, what? And I lifted the lid up. It was high. Absolutely. And this sort of weather we're having made it even worse. Well, we put it in the green bin the next day, and they took it in the green bin. Hallelujah. So we moved it on. Praise God. But it was good. Yeah, it was recent. Well, it was in the grey bin, but the grey bin weren't going to be emptied for another week. It's like, whoa.
Oh,
this, and you know, it's like, wow, that's what Lazarus would have smelt like. You know?
Yeah.
Rotting fish, rotting flesh. Yeah. And she's saying, don't open the tomb. Don't open the tomb. She doesn't really know why he's going to open the tomb. She's so distressed by it all, and she's got so much unbelief at this time. And Jesus said to her, did I not say to you, if you will believe, you will see the glory of God? Oh, yeah, I could preach on, you know, I could go on this. You'll see the glory of God. Do you know what the glory of God will do, Joan, to a dead corpse? Well, I'm about to reveal it in this scripture. Hallelujah. This is what the glory of God will do. Oh, hallelujah. You see, this is part of the answer. This is what the glory is all about. This is what the glory of God will do. When the glory of God comes in the church, this is what the glory will do to the church. And will do in the church and around the church and people who come into contact with the church. So they removed the stone. And Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, oh, I thank you that you heard me. He's already spoken about it 4 days ago. He said it 4 days ago.
He did. Amen.
He said, this sickness is not unto death, but it's unto life. And he said it 4 days ago. He says, I thank you, Father, that you heard me 4 days ago. His confession was that Jesus, that Lazarus would live. This sickness, he's not unto death.
Amen.
Do you know why? Because he knew the glory of God in his own life.
Yeah.
He was the glory of God. And verse 43. And when he had said these things, he cried out in a loud voice, Lazarus! Come forth!
Amen.
It's a good job he said Lazarus, because you never know who else might have been coming as well at the same time. could have been emptying graveyards all over the place. You had to be specific. We need to be specific.
Amen.
And he said it. The Bible says he said it so loud that the people around would hear.
Amen.
I missed those out. There's the two. And he's called out and said, Lazarus, come forth. Come forth. Now, I've told you what the tomb's like, didn't I? Was it deep? Were there steps in it? Could you get out of it if you were bound up in cloths? Rolling the stone away. Jesus calls his name. And it says, verse 44, and he who had died came forth,
amen,
bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. And Jesus said unto them, unbind him and let him go. Now, part of that miracle for me was when we went in that tomb, was like, how did he wriggle out from underneath that area that was chopped out, that was made like a stone coffin? How did he get out of there? And then how did he get up 10 steps or more? And you had to crouch, well, I certainly had to crouch down, going down and up them. And end up at the doorway of the cave, still bound, hand and foot. Power of God lifted him out.
Amen.
Ministering angels, something like that, picked him up, brought him out, and put him right against that tomb doorway in front of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I don't know what happened, but he appeared there from down in that tomb.
Amen. The power of God, yeah.
The power of God moved him, and he stood there. And he'd be like, I want to get out of this. And everybody stood back and went, they would have backed off. Fright, amazement. And then Jesus says, loose him. Remove the grave clothes. Let death be taken from him.
Amen.
And let him have life.
Praise God.
And so Lazarus is being set free through the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ and through the power of God working in his life. Even though he'd been dead for 4 days. Longer than Jesus was in the grave.
Yeah.
You see, Jesus was just showing you that, hey, it doesn't really matter how long. Don't really matter how long.
Yeah.
You see, it says, nothing is impossible to God.
Yeah.
And if God so wills it, God will so do it.
Amen.
Yeah.
Now then, you see, Paul says, or so Jesus says, it's not my will, but thy will be done, O Father.
Yeah.
Right? Now you see, Jesus had been in conversation with his heavenly Father about Lazarus, and he knew that this situation, the Father had already got this prepared.
Yeah.
He'd got it covered. He'd got the handle on it.
Yeah.
Everything's organized.
Yeah.
No panic, son. I've got it covered. I'm the Creator. You're the Word that brings life.
Woo!
And together with the Holy Spirit,
amen,
we will bring life.
Amen.
Wow.
Thank you,
Jesus. And they begin to loose him from the grave clothes. You know, his flesh would have not been rotting. His flesh has been touched. His body has been touched by the glory of God. His flesh would have been like that of a newborn child. Do you know why I say that? Because in the Old Testament, there's a man. There's a soldier. He's not a Jew. He's not from Israel. And he's got leprosy all over his body. His man, do you know what his name is? Anybody know?
Naaman.
Naaman. And the prophet said to him, get down to the river, Jordan. I've been and swum in that. It is a filthy river.
That's what he said.
Well, it is. He weren't lying, I'll tell you. It's still the same. In 1985, it was still a filthy river. And the prophet says, go and bathe yourself 7 times in that river Jordan. You are joking. Say, right. All the silt and this comes down that river and it's just a brown colour. So we went and swam in it. I'm still alive anyway, glory to God. At least I think I am anyway. And when he finally obeyed the prophet's word, he says he came up the 7th time and his skin was as a newborn child. There wasn't a mark on his body. When Jesus spoke that word and God's glory touched Lazarus,
amen,
and they removed those wrappings from around him, he was young again.
Amen.
There wasn't a mark on him. The glory of God. The story goes on. And we better look towards finishing, really. But many people came to see Lazarus. Remember, how far away was Bethany from Jerusalem? 2 miles. Not a long walk. Word spread. And people were coming to have a look at Lazarus. It's like, you Lazarus? Is it right? You were dead 4 days.
They are sleeping close.
And they're checking him out. They'd go to the tomb. People for the last 2,000 years have been going to the tomb. Checking it out. This where he laid? Was this where he was buried? Go in and have a look at this tomb. Couldn't believe it. And the fame of Jesus spread. Now this really wound up the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they got so mad. And they determined they were going to kill him.
Yeah.
Because if this carried on, the Bible will tell you, if this carried on, he will ruin our temple worship. He will ruin our religious services. Hallelujah, that's what I like. Ruin a few religious services. Hallelujah. And they wanted to kill Lazarus. The Pharisees wanted to kill Lazarus. They had plans to kill him. But he was so famous. The great thing is that if we believe that Jesus is the Son of God,
amen,
if we trust him, no matter what happens, he's there. He's there to protect us.
Yeah.
He's there to minister to us. I mean, let's be honest. There was going to be a day when Lazarus would die in the flesh. But this was to show that God, that Jesus, had conquered already.
Amen.
Sin,
yeah,
sickness,
yeah,
and death.
Amen.
The curse,
yes,
was already in the process of being broken. And the power of God can change things.
Yes.
And when he died on the cross and he rose again on that 3rd day, there's a greater victory.
Yeah.
There's an even greater increase in the presence and the power of God available to the church.
Yes.
today.
Amen.
Let's stop talking about it. Let's stop singing about it. Yes. And let's start doing about it.
Amen. Amen.
The Bible says they shall lay hands on the sick.
Yeah.
And they shall recover. Praise His name.
Yeah.
Pray the prayer of faith.
Yeah.
And see people healed. Let faith arise and let its enemies be scattered.
Amen.
Yes, okay. Unless Jesus comes before our appointed time, we will all see the grave. Well, we'll pass through it. We'll pass through it. Because we're not remaining there. We shall leave our grave clothes. As Jesus did. But we shall then put upon that glorious body.
Amen.
That new created body. No corruption. No sickness. No disease. No infirmity whatsoever. Made as in the beginning. When God created Adam. In the paradise. In Eden. And Eve. As God made them. Made them perfect, spotless, without corruption. It says in our little story there, they plotted to kill Jesus. Jealousy. Envy, greed, malice. But Jesus is alive today.
Amen.
You can't kill what's good. And you can't kill the Son of God. He's come to set the captives free. We live and breathe and serve a Jesus who heals people. A Jesus who came to give life and not death.
Yeah.
We have a Jesus who has compassion for each and every one of us. We need to let our faith arise. And let the enemies of doubt and fear and unbelief be scattered.
Amen.
And as Jesus said to Mary and Martha, only believe. And you shall see the glory of God. Amen. We have got to keep pressing in. We have got to keep believing God. Because I believe that there are greater miracles than what we've already seen. There are greater healings than what we've already seen. There are going to be bigger miracles. And there's going to be signs and there's going to be wonders and the presence and the glory of God. But the church has to press into this. The church has to purify itself and spend its time in the presence of God. And we will see the glory. We will see the power. We will see God moving. We shall see, we'll hear the voice of Jesus saying, arise!
Yes.
Arise!
Loose him.
Let him go.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Praise His wonderful name. Glory to God. Lazarus was raised from the dead. Nothing is impossible to our God. Amen? So when you're thinking things are looking tough and impossible, remind yourself, Lazarus, 4 days, and yet God raised him from the dead. 4 days. His blood would have dried in his veins. His flesh would have been rotting. Absolutely brain dead, as grace says. And yet he's risen again from the dead. And he's active and going about in Jesus' name. The Lord be praised. Be encouraged, church. Continue to be a blessing. And don't just look at the circumstances, look at Jesus. Because He is Lord of the circumstance. He is Lord of the situation. And when you declare Him as Lord over the circumstance, over the situation, you give Him the right to move in and change things. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you.